All right, we're going to get started. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, let's be there. And, Matthew chapter 6.
Do you want somebody else to read?
I'll read it. All right, so as we said, one of the things we're going to do during the next couple of weeks is we're going to have a study. We're going to be studying the scriptures, but then at the end, we'll have something where we actually have action steps, ways to respond to the scriptures. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus says this: beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Now let's stop there. Matthew 5, verse 16 says this though. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. All right. Someone explains the difference between Jesus and Matthew 6 starting off saying, hey, beware of trying to practice your righteousness in front of people that they may be seen by them. Because if you do that, you won't have a reward from your Father who is in heaven. But then in an earlier chapter, Matthew 5:16 says, no, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Someone kind of explained the difference between that as we set the tone for this chapter. What's the difference there?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah. One is how you live your life. Let your light shine. Just your everyday have your life. Versus prayer is more of a show off. Showing off, showing that I'm a very righteous person.
Gotcha.
So that would be the main difference.
Gotcha.
One of them is letting Jesus, letting the light that's in you, the light of Christ, shine forth. And the other is trying to impress people.
All right.
How holy you think you are.
Well, two different things you said here. One is to glorify your Father, and the other is for you to be noticed by men. So there's two different purposes in the...
There you go.
Glorify the Father.
There you go. That's great. So all those points are great. And we want to start off by saying this. So Jesus is not saying that our righteousness shouldn't be seen, but he's getting to the heart of the issue. He's saying that there are others, like he said, there are others that wants to shine, wants their righteousness to be seen by others so that they may be praised, versus Matthew 5:16 is talking about, no, we should let our righteousness, they should see our good works, but at the end of the day, it's not for our glory, it's for the Father, right?
And the Lord showed that when they came to Jesus and said, good master, he said, why calleth thou me good and none good but Father?
That's right.
So he was setting a good example on that one verse right there.
That's great. That's great. So we want to start off right there, because there is a difference between letting our righteousness be seen, but Jesus always talks about the matters of the heart. So let's look at verse 2, chapter 6, verse 2. It says, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Verse 3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. All right. So what Jesus is saying, which I love, he knows this, what's rewarded is repeated, right? What he's saying is this. He's saying, look, if you do this, if you show off, I love how someone said that, you try to be impressive to other people, you've already received your reward. But let me tell you why you shouldn't do that. I can outgive them, right? When you do things for me, you'll receive a reward from me. So I want to start off by saying this. First, we live for the glory of God. All of us get that. That's basic stuff. Two, just because you live for the glory of God doesn't mean that it's wrong to seek rewards. It's not wrong to seek reward, right? Jesus himself will reward us, right? But this is the key. He said, when you give, how should we give? In secret. All right. That's verse 4. All right. I want to show you guys this. If you look down at verse 6, it ends by saying, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you, right? If you look at verse 18, it ends by saying, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What I like to title this study for the next couple of weeks is this, the secret life. I want to talk about the secret life and how to develop a secret life. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 9, for your notes, the Bible says this. The Bible says that the children of Israel did things in secret that were against the Lord. What I mean by that is this. Everyone, no matter who you are, once have lived a secret life. Now, when you hear someone lived a secret life, what's some words that come up into your mind? Is that a positive thing or usually a negative thing? You're hiding. It's usually a negative thing, right? Someone was once someone in public, but secretly, privately, he or she was someone else. Now, this is the interesting thing. did you know that Christ actually wanted you to live a secret life, but positively? Right? This is the cool thing. The first time one of my mentors was studying this, like, Tim, you know, Christ actually called you to live a secret life, but usually I think negative, right? So I'm like, what do you mean a secret life? I mean, we're supposed to live from the inside out. What about integrity? He said, no. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and let's kind of go through that. So in the next couple of weeks, that's what we're going to be studying, how to develop our secret life. But I want you to remember, nowhere am I saying to live in hiding, to live in secret in that sense, but to actually develop and practice our righteousness the way Christ called us to. Perfect example. I'm raising this 10-year-old. When I say, hey, there are consequences for your actions, what is he thinking? Negative or positive?
Negative.
What's the definition of consequences? The results of actions, not negative results, right? The results of actions. All right, someone has an attitude. What do you usually hear, negative or positive, when someone says that?
Negative.
But what's an attitude? Can't you have a good attitude, right? So this is what we're going to do with this study. We're going to actually talk about living a secret life the way Christ called us to. Now, when you're sharing this with other people, what you're talking about in your Bible study, that might throw them off a little bit. What do you mean living in secret? What do you mean by that? This is how you can take them to Matthew chapter 6. And don't forget, this is going to be action oriented. We're always going to have action steps. So we're going to start off with giving. So let's look back. Chapter 6, verse 2. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Once again, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. All right. Question is, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
Not a man. Yes. Yep. Yes, sir. Some about hypocrites in the definition of that, the meaning of that. Right. So as we get into giving, I want to ask you a quick question. Now, you don't have to answer this, but I want you to reflect on this. The question isn't, are you living a secret life? The question is, can God reward it? All right, let me say it again. The question isn't, are you living a secret life? You, all of us live a life that only us and God know about. That's just the truth. I don't care if you've been saved for a day or for a decade or for 20 years. Everyone lives a life that only them and God knows about. The question is, can he reward it? Now, this is the heart of God behind it. Jesus is so generous, he actually wants to reward what we do in the dark. That's what's a beautiful thing about following Jesus. He actually wants to reward you in public, what you do privately. That's great. So that's why I want us to develop this, is because I know how it is to live a life negatively of the secret life. I know how it is to be a pastor, but then in secret to do things that honestly I would never do or never say, right? I know how it is to go at home and speak to my wife in a way that I would never speak to a congregation, right? And after doing this study has really changed my life, literally from the inside out. So when it comes to giving, Jesus says this, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Let's just talk about that. What does that mean? What does that mean? Jesus, like, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Let's make this real simplistic. What is he talking about? Yes, ma'am.
And they showed off, you know, they were out in the streets wearing their fine garments. You know, hey, I'm giving. It's like the guy in the temple. The widow put in her little mite, and the other one put in out of their excess, but not everything they had. He was full of rewards, I guess you say it that way, for the widow and her mite, but not for the hypocrites came and gave out of their largesse, like when we go into our pockets and pull out the worn dollar bills when we have. I mean, when we have enough to take care of what God wants to take care of.
Gotcha. Someone else. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What do you think Jesus is trying to get at? What's the heart behind this? What's he saying here?
Practically speaking, sometimes I don't tell my wife when I've given something. I don't know why, except that command. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I share it with her, she's going to think better of me. I mean, that may be my motivation. So I'll right. just be quiet, you know.
Right.
Give quietly, but I don't know. That's a practical side of it. I
right.
don't know spiritually what it means.
Yeah. Anyone else? Anyone else have just a little thing, like, why would Jesus kind of put it in these ways? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Why would Jesus put it in that way?
When you went to Africa, they actually had baskets of different sizes.
Yep.
And they had, I forget which one was tied with gifts. You gave for different.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you're going to put in the left basket, don't worry about what's going in the right basket.
Mm-hmm.
Like if yep. you give $5 to the left basket, still get $5.
Yeah. All right. That's good. That's good. Some good insight. A little cultural context.
Justin Vaughn, wonderful doctor. But you never heard much good about anything he done until after he died. And after he died, man, you'd be surprised at the things that he gave and done for the community and things after death was told.
Right.
But all time he was living, he never breathed a word of it. Yeah. Nobody knew anything about it.
Come on. Come on. Yeah.
He got rewards.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Cool. All right, so the thing. Yes.
Motive.
Now, there's some things, and you guys can look it up, you ladies can look it up, and some cultural context that was happening. One thing that was happening, even when he literally said, like, don't let the trumpet sound before you, Jesus wasn't speaking poetically. They were doing that. It got to the point where, before they even gave, they would give, like she said, in certain baskets, and they would build these pots that when your money went in, it would sound. Like, literally, so if you gave a lot, just like, you know what I mean? I mean, it was just like, I mean, it got to the point where it was just like, hey, look at me, praise me because of the gift that I am going to give, right? Another thing that one person said practically with this as far as our context, and let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. All right. Now, we don't do that, right? We don't put on our tithes and offerings, stand up and go, I am awesome, look at me, right? We don't do that, right? But sometimes we can kind of give ourselves that pat. Now, we should be proud of ourselves as men and women of God, being obedient to his word. But at the same time, we got to remember the only thing we can offer God is what he freely gave to us anyway, right? He doesn't owe us anything, right? So when we give, it's supposed to be out of worship. It's supposed to be from a great heart motive. Now, we all get this, right? Tim, I get this. But let's make this more action oriented, right? Who around you is in need? Because Jesus is not saying don't give. Nowhere is he saying do not give. So let's start off and make this more action-oriented in your life. And I want you to think about this, right? Are you putting yourself in positions where you have the needy around you intentionally? Because as believers of God, practically, you have something to offer, right? Yeah, our story. Yeah, our faith. But now I'm going to get it where it hurts, our pockets. Right. Because sometimes when we say give, the first thing people try to do, right, as teachers, they try to be, whoa, it's not about money. I don't want to talk about money. Your time, your talent, your energy. Right. And there's a number of reasons why he or she would do that. But this morning, I specifically want to talk about our money, because Jesus actually speaks more about money than he does about heaven. All right. Don't believe me. Look it up. All right. Google that. All right. So practically, right, in your life, are you putting yourself in a position where you're surrounded by needy people, by people who are actually in need, where if you don't give, they will lack? Now, I want to open this up to discussion. Does Christ call us to do that? Yes or no? And if so, how should we respond to that? Because we just don't go empty. I just don't go across the street where I'm baking and empty out my account and go somewhere where, you know, it's poor and just give all I have to poor. No. So I want to talk about this right now, because it's so easy to read the scriptures, as we talked about last week, talk about the heart motive behind it, the cultural context, but then not live this out. So how do we live out this? How do we live out this giving in secret, being generous, and actually giving to the needy? How do we do that? All right. And how?
Well, I agree. Yes. Well, I used to live in Virginia, and there was a woman there who dealt with the homeless, and she impressed upon me a rule. She said, never give money. She said, you give in kind, or you buy a meal for somebody, give them a gift card, pay for the hotel, but you don't give money because you don't know what they're going to use it for. So that's what I have done. You know, if I give something, you know, people are on the corner, I'll, you know, I have granola bars and raisins. It's kind of boring. And in the summertime, sometimes I'll do water, you know, water with that. But it's not sufficient. You know, and I, you know, you give to church gives people, but I don't know. The giving to you have really, really cool. You just shower. You look at somebody who wins the lottery. Usually, within years, they're busted. You know, because they don't know how to handle money.
Okay.
You have to be wise.
Yep. All right. So in that, I love how you said, you know, I buy different food, gift cards, different things like that when I give. Someone else, tell me how can we strategically be people who make sure we don't surround ourselves people just like ourselves? What I mean by that is this: listen, you can go throughout your whole day today and won't even ask the question, who around me is in need and how do you want me to? Why? Because we all have calendars. We are all busy, right? Perfect example for me being a pastor. I worked at a church. All right. I wasn't around people who, number one, even needed the gospel. Right. I was around pastors, all leaders all day. It'll be so easy for me to jump from this Bible study. I leave this Bible study today, 12 to 3. I teach at a Christian school. Right. So I'm giving to the kids. Then I can go home to my wife. And this question would probably never cross my mind unless I was very intentional saying this. Father, is there someone in need and how do you want me to, right? So I'm coming from the assumption that you guys, right, that we all give to the needy. So I'm just looking for a practical example. So on how do you give? How do you intentionally take yourself out of your probably normal world and give to those who are in need around you, your community, family, friends? So
we had a sermon on Nehemiah a week and a half ago, and Nehemiah was in Babylon, right, or Assyria, one of those countries. Anyway, he'd never been to Jerusalem, and he heard about Jerusalem, the condition of it, and he started weeping. And then the point in the sermon was he went to see it. And you remember he got to Jerusalem, and for 3 days he toured the city, not telling anybody what he had in mind, that the king had said, you go rebuild. But it, practically speaking, I'm finding that in my own life. I'm a kind of a handyman, like Harold, and I've got a long story about that. I'll make it short. I'd like to tell it sometime, because the Lord is really changing me. But it turns out I don't really like doing maintenance work if I haven't seen the problem. And I've found, I'm working in Church Hill a lot now, helping people. And I go in there, and I don't really want to do this. But when I see the condition, it turns my heart to want to help. And it's easy to help when I see the problem. So I'd say, answer the question, if you're not seeing a needy place, maybe you need to go see it. And it will, and then pray about what should you do. And that I find in the Lord just opening it up. That's my motivation, is seeing it.
That's a beautiful thing. So let's break this down. I love what he said. So he said, sometimes location, right? Sometimes when you, now there's needs everywhere we go, but sometimes there's other locations that you can physically see the need, right? You can see the broken down house. You can see the old man or the old woman trying to get up the stairs without having a ramp in their wheelchair. You can see that, wow, you know, I'm pretty handy. I probably know a couple of guys. We can go into that neighborhood and build that ramp for that lady, right? So one thing, like he said, maybe today in our thinking, we could say, wow, is there a place, Father, that you will want me to go today? Is there some neighborhoods that even I could just practically just drive through and just kind of see and just maybe even pray, just like what Nehemiah did? I mean, he began to weep, he began to pray, and he just prayed over the city before he went to action. He just prayed over how the walls were broken down and how the city is coming to ruin. So for us, it might be seeing that. One practical thing, it might be a mission trip. Right. Maybe some of us might say, hey, different churches you go to, you might want to come up to some leaders and say, are there any missions that we're doing even here locally? I don't have to get on a plane. You might not be able to afford that right now. You might say, is there something locally that I can do? Is there someone here in need? So that's great. Location is going to be huge. Why is that important? That's exactly what Christ did. So look at what the Father did. The Father creates the world we sin. Okay. He makes a covering for them. From then point on, he raises up kings, judges. He sends prophets to us. But I love this. Then finally, right, he sends his son. Jesus changes location, right? He intentionally becomes man, puts on flesh, and puts himself surrounded with people who are in need, right? Jesus didn't need to do that. He didn't do that for his benefit. He did it for ours. So sometimes we need to incarnate that, right? We need to leave where we are sometimes. Not all the time. Sometimes there's needs even here in a restaurant. But we need to leave where we are, go to a place we know intentionally by us just being there would be better, right? We have something to offer. Someone else, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I like to share one thing. I grew up, this boy and we grew up and we both got saved, and he go to this church. I won't call no name, but anyhow, a preacher from Sneedville, Tennessee, sent word to the church here in Manicum, Virginia, the great need in Sneedville. So anyhow, the church and this boy that I grew up with had a tractor and trailer parked in the churchyard, and people gave and came and put stuff in the truck. Food, clothing, all kind of things. Canned goods and everything. Carried it up there, and I went with him to distribute it, and we videotaped it on video. Mm-hmm. Y'all think, everybody thinks that the need is overseas in a foreign country. You go to Sneedville, Tennessee, that close to you here, see what's up there. People living in the woods. Mm-hmm. Older people with tarps for a roof. Old broken down furniture, no sidewall. Wood heaters with no sidewall, smoke rolling, and they living in that condition. School, children going to school with windows broke out, the windows all broke out, and the gutters hanging off the buildings, going to school. 8 people live in 2 rooms with no running water, and the town is boarded up, just a very storage. Only thing that's operating up there is a prison.
and it tore my heart all to pieces. Mm-hmm. You see, you could hear about something, but when you go and see, like you're talking about, go and take a look, mm-hmm. and everybody concerned about overseas, mm-hmm. where did Jesus start his work at?
Well,
at home. I'm not saying don't help people over there, but I'm saying look at your own hometown. Look at your own home place. That changed my outlook on giving right there, buddy. And the people come in line behind that truck getting things out that they needed. One woman broke down crying. She said somebody had put a box springs and mattress in there. And this woman broke down crying. It was an elderly lady living in the mountains, sleeping on springs with a plastic raincoat over the springs. And that's where she slept. So when she got that mattress, and man, it just she just broke down crying. So this is what, like you said, you know, you go take a look. And when you see the need, you want to give. Now, there's organizations today that saying, give, give, give. I won't call the names, but one of them was busted. Every dollar went in, the people got 25% of it. Every dollar that came into that organization, the needy got 25%, and they busted that. So anyhow, you gotta look things out. Search it out. Search it out.
So today, and I love this, sometimes, and even being a pastor, so you go on these trips. And then for me, what happens is I go to these trips, I see the need. And the Bible says that even Christ looked into the multitudes. He saw their need, had compassion on him. He went into action. And then this is what happens. I get back off the plane. I'm fired up. I'm excited about that God used I and the team to do what he's called us to do. And then this is what happens. I just come back into the normal world, right? I come back. I live not even 10 minutes up the road. I come back to my neighborhood. I come back to my family and to my friends. And for me, I wouldn't say I lose that passion or compassion. I would say I just get right back into the zone of what I have to accomplish and almost tend to forget that there are people around me who are in need. So my question is, apart from now going and seeing, which I think it's great, and we all talked about that, how can we almost kind of remove those blinders off? Because for us to believe, like he said, that there's not people even in need in our day-to-day actions at the grocery store, here, wherever we go, I think that's going to be a false assumption on our part. So let's change the need, because sometimes it's a little bit easier to see a need, a homeless.
Sometimes I think God has to.
All right.
Because, like, I'm working at Target now as a cashier, and I'd be around so many different people, but I wouldn't have met them if I wasn't a job. And if I wouldn't have been in the position I am working at what I call a menial job, then I wouldn't have been in this. I think God broke me bad and made me get a lower job than I really wanted. Mm-hmm. Try to realize he makes us become need so that we help others.
Yeah, I see that.
Or makes me aware of the need so that I relate to him better now that I've experienced.
Right. That's true. Yeah, sometimes it's our jobs. Even at our workplace, I don't know how many of us are still in the workplace, but let's talk about that for those who are in the workplace or who have been in the workplace. How has God used you to kind of provide a need there for someone? Now, what I mean by need, let's talk about some things practically that I believe everyone needs. Even an encouragement. You can never get a... Now, some narcissists, they might not need that, right? But I think everyone needs that. I don't think anyone would say, like, you know, if you encourage them, like, you know, I'm really not in need of any encouragement today or a good word today. What are some ways just here in our normal, in our world, in our jobs, and in our families, how can we be intentional about providing needs? And the reason why intentional is such a huge word is this. A lot of people in need are not asking for it. Let's be real spiritual, because you're saying, how does this tie into a Bible study? You didn't ask for forgiveness before Jesus granted that to you. Bible says you love God because he what? First of you. You didn't pursue him. Jesus did not come to heaven with a welcome sign, like, please come here, right? No, and then when he came, what did he get? He got a cross. You're not invited, all right? What I mean, a lot of people in need, including myself, even as a man sometimes, I don't share my needs just openly, right? I'm just not vulnerable, and I just put my needs out there. So sometimes, even ourselves, and as we give this, we need to be intentional about seeking people out, seeing where they are, and maybe seeing how God will want us to intervene on their behalf. So I want to shift into that. How can we this week do this? How can we sit? How can we pray? How can we? Because you're saying God will take the blinders off, and now I'm just asking, okay, God, how can I put myself in a position where you could take those blinders off and then give me the wisdom to see how you will want me to intervene in a way? Maybe it is a phone call. Maybe it is a letter that you write for someone and you slip it under their door. Maybe it is that, but
slow down in life. You're not always going on your own schedule.
Slow down. So how can we do that? That's great. Because you said the schedule, the calendar can kind of get busy. You can go from one to-do thing to the next thing. So what's some ways that we can slow down and do this? What are some ways? Let's kind of intentionalize that. What are some ways that we can do that? Prayer, okay?
Prayer.
Praying that to him.
All right, Father, like, how you want me to do this? Someone else? How can we're promised to
God will give us the desires of our heart. And so if our desire is to look for his opportunity, because that's a good desire, right? God's going to give you. I think as the blinders come off recently, you know how you go through these times in your spiritual life, God will reveal something heavy on heart, and then providing for all that to place. And he happens to evangelize. So part of that is, that's my desire. I'm looking for those opportunities. It's like, here's one, and here's one, and here's one. And maybe it's just, you know, now my blinders are off, and I'm, you know. But I think if it's a desire, and we're aware, and thinking, and praying, God's gonna help us.
That's great. That's great. Yes, sir.
Something that's very simple. Ask how they actually listen to you.
Come on, man. Explain that. Keep going
in that game. A lot of times, we do it in conversation. How you doing is fast fans. You really don't want to know how they're doing. You really don't, okay? You know. So it's just, this is what will happen. You'd be surprised. If you are genuine with that, see it, they will open up to you. Because what you're doing, this is so simple, so basic. When you listen to them, you are giving them.
No, that's beautiful. Hey, that is awesome. I was working in a church, you know, and still doing. And it just got to a point, I would ask someone how they were doing. And then I'm a pastor, so a lot of them, they just kind of open. It's like, blah, blah. And I would literally, hey, man, talk to my assistant. Like, let's meet up on that. So I love that, just saying, how you doing? We had this guy at our church. He would shake my hand, and he was like, hey, Tim, how you doing? Really? How you doing? You know what I mean? And then he told me, he said, hey, don't ask someone. I love that slowing down. Don't ask someone that just out of that, because what do you have the time to listen to them to literally say, like, hey, how are you actually doing, right? So I love that. I mean, that's simple, but the gospel helps us slow down, right? The call that Christ has is helps us slow down and intentionally get someone's life. So that might be a phone call this week. That might be a phone call this week that you would have to make to a family member, a friend, and just like, you know what? How you doing? Just really. Now, it doesn't mean we go searching for something, right?
But
exactly. That's good. Mm-hmm. And this is the key, right? The cool thing that he said, when you ask someone that, you give them permission to talk, you listen to them, sometimes that's all they need. Have you ever talked to someone, well, they actually talk to you, listen, and you just go, and at the end of the conversation, you go, thank you, I needed this so much. You're like, I didn't do anything. Right? All I did was listen to your story a little bit, right? So I just want to show us, like, it's not that hard. It's really not that hard to put ourselves in a position to offer people our attention, to give them time. We do need to slow down.
Some days,
right?
It's hard.
Some days,
days it's hard.
Yeah. But in the bigness of it, when people say, man, how can I give to the needy? We look at this huge thing. We think about all the world and everything that's going on. And sometimes we get paralyzed by how as we look at the vastness and the bigness of the problems. But Christ may be trying to remind us, like, you know what? It's actually not that simple. I'm trying to bring childhood education to adult application. Be kind. Be nice. Be generous.
When you're going to serve the Lord, be a Christian along the way and be a Christian when you get there. You know, a lot of times we get focused on one place that we're going to go, and we never see what God will have us do along the way. God brings people in and out of our lives. You don't have to go find them, but you have to be attentive. I mean, you know, so yes, set your goal to, I'm going to go here and do this. But slow down for long enough to see what you're walking beside of and past and through on your way. Because Jesus didn't go out and say, all right, today I'm going to heal 3 blind men. I'm going to give one crazy man his mind back. That wasn't it. He just went. And the Father gave him what to do. Mickey, tell me what time, said, go out into the field. God will give you something to do. Take the time to just say, okay, Lord, I'm going out to see if there's somebody you want me to talk to. I'm going out. You know, that's all. Just go out into the field.
To the need that the ability that Christ put in you. Each one of us have a gifting, okay? And that's what the deposit of Christ is. You know what's in you. You know what you're called to, at least some of it. Let the life flow.
Right.
So my wife counsels a lot of women. My wife counsels a lot of women, you know, and she's all the time telling me, she said, I really don't do anything but listen. And they come and tell her problems and everything. She sits there and let them and just listen. And then they're so glad when they leave, they feel so much better and everything. And she hadn't done anything but listen.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
A lot of times. Yeah. I just want to say, the answer is that peace. They use themselves. They know the answer. They just want to be a vehicle bringing out of them. You know, just like you said, she didn't do anything. But they feel better because talking out, they're sounding. I heard something, it's hard going out with busy lives. I heard something, Never have they heard one on their deathbed wish he had more time at work. Their first thing is trying to get better. They're not thinking about going back to the hour again.
Right.
It's so, but we make it complicated. It's so basic and the most simple.
So in this, trying to bring this to a wrap, like I said, I want this time for us to be very, very intentional and not to be a waste of our time either. Because I actually believe what happens in this time should affect what happens out here. I come from a place, my disposition of Bible study is that as I meet and gather with men and women of God, that literally something will happen in the world as a result of it. Every time I meet, I just believe that. Last time I met and I just got fired up and just hearing what you guys had to say and all this stuff and then be able to do that in our lives. So here's this week's assignment. You've heard from your brothers and sisters in Christ giving us tips about what to do, how to do it, desires of our heart, praying, getting out to the field, being a vehicle, being a listening ear. This week, let's do that. And then how we're going to start next week, we'll get our prayer requests, we'll pray. And then before we move on to the next thing, we'll share stories about what happened to our time. Now, some would say, well, I thought that's supposed to be in secret. Isn't that the whole thing, the secret life? Yeah. That's a little bit different. We're trying to do this for, number one, accountability's sake. We're trying to do that for inspiration's sake, all for the glory of God. Because as you hear someone's story, it'll inspire you, right? It'll inspire your life, and then you'll just go, wow, man, that's really good. And the Bible does say this. In Romans says, outdo one another in showing honor. I love that verse. So it gives an opportunity for someone to share their story, maybe of success, maybe of failure. Maybe, man, I think I was supposed to do this week. I kind of slowed down. And maybe when I got on the phone and I asked someone how they were doing, I wasn't a good listener. And I kept talking, right? Because I'm a preacher. That's what we do too much. Right? I kept talking. So I need you guys and you ladies to help me out with that. So as we share each other's stories next week, the cool thing is going to happen is we're all going to see as the body of Christ how God used all of us, all in our own unique ways. In our own different world. Look at the influences in this room. All of us are going to go to different directions and touch the city and the county and the workplace and the homes and families in different directions. And so that's what I want us to do this week, right? Now, one way to help that out, I don't like to leave things even to my memory. Write it down. If you can journal it, that will be easy. So when you come back, it will be real easy to kind of just simply explain that. Just boom, this is what happened. This is where I was. This is what happened. And I think we're all going to be surprised how God may do this. It's going to be really interesting. And the cool thing about that is living a life like this, living as a servant of Christ, it brings back an adventure and excitement to our lives. It could be so easy to be mundane. Oh man, it's just Tuesday. I got this. This is what I need to do. But man, living for Christ for me, it's reminding me that living just for yourself, it's pretty boring, right? But actually, as I live for others, as I live for the Lord, I live for something bigger than myself. It inspires me and it drives me to do things I can never do on my own strength. And it reminds me that as a believer, I actually have something to offer, that my life really does matter in the here and the now, right? So I'll end with this. Like he said, along the way, the Bible says, as we talked about last week, says, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When we hear that word, we think, okay, now we got to go. The actual literal translation of that is in your going, as you're going, as you live, do X, Y, and Z. So the cool thing is, it's not like we have to stop everything we're doing, shut down life and go, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I'm not going to move, right? He says this, no, in your life. So that means where you go today is strategic. The family you have is strategic. All that is a part of God's mission. You don't have to go far. So he says, as you're going, do as I command you to do. Help people along the way. So in this, that may be help you out. Just take the time, pray, ask. Can we ask God to give us the desire of our heart? That's why I'm going to close us in prayer and just ask that. Because sometimes, that's not my desire, right? My desire actually today is I have my own needs and I need to get these done, right? I have a long to-do list. That's my number one desire if I was honest this morning. I didn't wake up this morning and the first thing I thought, wow, there may be someone in need that, Lord, you may want me to help and intervene with, right? So maybe just asking God to change that desire, slowing down. And then this week, let's be intentional in our going, in our life, doing that. Come back next week and share stories on how, watch this, how the Father was generous enough to put us in a position to be used by Him and to glorify Him, that we're actually on His team and that we can actually bring glory to Him. Or I don't know about you, but that seems kind of upside down, right? That creation can bring glory to the Creator, right? That people that were in need of Christ, right? He has found us, saved us, cleaned us, filled us, and He actually uses us now, and we're on His team. As we share those stories, I think some beautiful things are going to happen, and I believe that lives are going to be touched and felt, and people are going to feel loved and cared for this week. Let me pray for us. Close your eyes, Baez. So, Father, we love You, and we thank You. We thank You so much for listening to our prayers this morning. We thank You so much for the gift of Your word, Lord God, and also we thank You that you desire, Lord God, to use us. Lord God, so even today, we just pause and say, Father, this is Your day. Have Your way. May Your will be done and in our lives, Lord God, and in others' lives. So this week, Lord, You already know who's going to get called. Father, You know who we're going to interact with. I pray that You will speak to him, that You will speak to her, that You will prepare their hearts to receive whatever it is that You have for them. God, we pray that lives will be changed, that lives will be touched. And we're just so overjoyed that You've put us on Your team. Lord God, that You've made us a part of Your kingdom. And God, that we're going to have an impact in our world. So thank You so much for hearing this. And until we meet again, Lord willing, I pray You just keep us close to You. God, just keep us. Keep us close to Your heart, Lord God. May Your grace just keep us as we walk day in and day out. Keep us in Your presence. We love You. We thank You again in Jesus' name. Amen.